WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Box.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is me, the be-all, end-all of our little network, the Omega. And I believe, Mace, we're on our own.
We are. Woohoo!
Oh, well, yeah, in that case. No.
Why not?
Someone forgot to say their initials when they popped the can.
Well, the only one around here that uses initials is Mr. Florida over there.
I have too much respect for the man to steal his shtick.
By the way, before we begin and actually introduce the show, how about them Cowboys?
What
about getting done? Something shocking. Good thing I didn't pick him this week.
good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wild Talk Radio, live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you for the first-time listeners and everyone else who comes back every single week. If you got a comment, put it in the chat room or give us a call, 267-297-1397. Yes, we're opening the phones again.
You fool.
And you weren't even introduced, and you were talking about people stealing your shit.
Well, I'm just the producer, remember that.
Yeah, do remember, the producer is not an actual person, Mace.
Yeah, true.
Apparently I'm just a midget in a wheelchair some nights, and I have no pictures exist, and yeah, that sort of thing.
That's true, there are no pictures of you that exist anywhere. I have big doubts that you are even real.
I'm just a figment of your imagination, that is all.
Well, I've got plenty of them. Join the party. So yeah, as I warn people in the chat room, don't expect professionalism or staying on topic.
So we're here to talk some pro wrestling, and the biggest story of the week is simply Kane goes corporate? Huh? What? Explain this, Omega.
Well, what's more evil?
Corporation.
Okay, you go from a monster to the devil's favorite, and then where do you go from there? You become a businessman.
In a fancy suit.
You see, a couple of years from now, they'll have to repackage him into a lawyer. That's where it gets really bad.
Well, the scary thing about this so far is the only way up for him is to add a hairpiece and try and take over Donald Trump's empire. Kane Towers.
So they would be the Burning Infernos?
The Towering Infernos, God, Rock.
What? No?
Can you pick up a ball just once?
No, I'm trying to be Canadian tonight. Trying to be Canadian, eh? Tell bad jokes. Anyway, what was your first reaction to seeing Kane in the suit?
I had to double check, triple check, quadruple check that it was him. It was like, oh, random person walking down in the suit. Wait, what? That's Kane. The fuck?
Did one of the bookers wander out by mistake? Wait, what?
Yeah, who let one of the production staff on camera? Like, this sort of, at least for me anyway, harkens back to the first time I ever saw the guy in a suit. It just seems so out of place and out of character. And then once it sort of set in, it was like, okay, let's see what happens now. Then he started tweeting. That got scary.
Oh, good lord, he's on the Twitters, I know. At KWWA, by the way. And he's tweeting he's on the first day of our job, and then in a suit, and then he's now the director of operations? What does that even mean?
I am not really sure. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, you have, COO, that's what Triple H is, and now you have a DOO, and I'm not sure what the difference is.
So does that mean that we're going to get an EOO and an FOO? Just keep going through the alphabet? No, I see this sort of along the same lines as, what was Doc's title in Aces and Eights, Rock?
The director
of Chaos.
Yes.
Same type of deal. Basically, Kane's gonna be the guy who directs traffic, plans who's gonna, you know, when's the shield gonna come down and who they're going to attack and all that type of thing.
If you're going to make, you know, if you're going to make him like that, you know, at least come up with something more, you know, Kane-like for it. You know, DOO could be, you know, your director of Oblivion. You know, make it cheesy if you're going to go for this angle.
I think it's cheesy enough at this point in time.
What do you mean?
Just Kane in a suit and calling him the director of anything at this point is cheesy as a motherfucker.
We sat here last week saying, oh, they're going to change the Kane character. We didn't think this.
No. Expected the mask to go away again.
Well, yeah, since he handed it over.
Well, since he was going to be in a movie where he's not going to be in the mask. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of figure, okay. Yeah, we'll kind of cross-promote this a little bit.
Even though it doesn't come out until 2014.
Mm.
Slow build. Mind you, I know they're going for the very corporate look for Kane. But, you know, you could have incorporated a bit of the character. You know, sort of switch the suit around a bit. Instead of black suit and the red and black striped tie, how about black tie, red suit?
That harkens back to a character called Jim Mitchell.
It's not the Sinister Minister.
But then again, he would be taken after his father, too, because Paul Bearer at one point wore the red jacket and a black shirt.
See, as soon as you start putting on a suit that's all red, it immediately screams, made-for-TV movie Satan.
Is that not Kane?
He has a point.
That depends on what era Kane is from.
True. We're already in suggestion of just putting a tie over a typical Kane outfit. Unfortunately, that doesn't work.
No, that's McFoley-esque, and yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
I just want the suit to reflect more of Kane being Kane, but this just this gives us the idea of corporate shill, which is what they're going for, I suppose.
Yeah, pretty much, and yeah.
He had a handkerchief. Kane had a handkerchief. Something wrong.
Hey, that's alright. I heard a lot of, hey, I remember that dentist comments show up on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. So did I. I saw that. Because corporate Kane was all the craze on Monday night.
Okay. A dentist degree needs to be hanging in his office. Just no one even mention it. Just have it like back there. Just to see who pays attention.
All right, that would be clever.
That would be extremely clever. Which means you know the WWE's not going to
do it. Yeah.
That's kind of true. All right. Okay. If you sort of had your way, Omega, what would you do with the director of operations? In your perfect world.
In my perfect world?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. It's so, like, I can't even imagine this. Like, I saw it last week, and I still can't imagine the scenario or where you go with this. Like, the most I could see you do with him is, you know, maybe, like, you know, maybe he's the one who will sully his hands instead of Triple H or Stephanie. Now that, well, see, and here's the thing, we just got rid of the whole, you know, Big Show is fired angle. You know, see next segment. We just got rid of that angle, and like, wouldn't your giant have come in handy then?
Kinda, sorta.
And I know he's gonna be like the roadblock for Big Show now, but it's like, you know, maybe he's the guy who comes out and announces announces what matches or comes out to punish anyone who goes against the authority.
So you're in your perfect world, he has power like a general manager?
Something like that.
See, that would have been my idea. Like, you've got Kane, he's the director of operations, which is a very authoritative sounding title. Brad Maddox. Bye. Kane, welcome to Running Raw.
Where the fuck is Brad Maddox, by the way?
He got punched out by the Big Show about 3 weeks ago, and I think he's still picking up his teeth.
Yeah, I think they gave him a concussion.
I used to be in charge of something.
Back in the day.
Like, I almost feel bad for the guy, and that's not right.
Yeah, but, like, if you want to sort of centralize power on both shows, Kane's the perfect way to do it. With that job title and everything, you could quite easily write out Vicky, who, according to reports, she's going back to college or something like that, working on something. And Brad Maddox was fucking useless as, you know, tits on a ball anyway.
Right.
So why not have Kane become the guy running the shows on a daily basis? He's the guy who's reporting to Triple H. That way there's always a constant presence of the authority there without having to involve Triple H and Steph on every single show.
Right. And before I pitch it back to Omega, you said, Omega, you kind of feel bad for Brad Maddox. I'm going to read his Twitter to you.
Please do.
If Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus had a kid, it would probably be me. I'm that cool, and I'm that great of a modern-day American leader.
Big Show, you shouldn't have held back.
Still feel bad?
I
Still feel bad?
I'm happy he's gone. Fuck him.
Yes.
Wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Anyway, back to what... Do you agree with Mace, then, Omega?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I mean, he pretty much agreed with me, but the...
I've kind of scarred you with that tweet, didn't I?
Yeah.
Alright, Mace, is this a good or bad move for the Kane character?
I don't know at this point in time. It's really, like, because it's so fresh and we haven't really heard much out of the character besides a couple of tweets. It's sort of hard to work out this early on if it is a good move or a bad move for him. Like, I know a lot of people have said, you know, Kane's been a very stale character. He's either been comedy-based or he's been trying to get back the monster thing and failing something shocking. This is a new direction for him. I reckon it could be really good if, you know, the guy that we've seen in the Libertarian videos now starts making his way as the Kane character. But then again, it could all fall flat on its face because, you know, the writers seem to be a bunch of retarded monkeys these days.
Yeah, that is kind of true because there's a lot of shakeups going on. Triple H lost a couple of his right-hand men. This past week. People aren't happy in Stanford. They have an unhappy.
I wouldn't be happy in Stanford either.
No.
But what do you think, Omega? Good? Bad move? Too early to judge?
It's a little early to judge. It really depends on what ideas led to them going, yeah, let's put Kane in a suit. Because there had to be an idea. That's not an idea you come up with out of the blue, just going, let's just see what happens. There has to be a plan of some kind.
I still think he was running late from a Libertarian meeting and just sort of arrived at the arena late and goes, Kane, you need it out the ring. Fuck! Shit, I'm still in the suit. Somebody go with this!
He put the contact in, though.
That was probably all he could get done in the car on the way to the arena.
Okay, yeah, it's a 7-foot guy in a car trying to put one contact in while driving.
Like you'd complain? I don't know, like, this it also goes to show how much we're starting to change our look on what's going on at the moment. You know, only 2 or 3 weeks ago, we would have either loved this or hated it completely, but now it's like, I'm not too sure.
It's intriguing. Is the best way to put it.
Is it really?
I don't even really say it's intriguing. It's one of those things of like, have you ever, like, everybody's had this moment where you're sitting at home, you've got the window open or something, and all of a sudden you hear the screeching of tires, and you're just waiting for the bang.
Yeah, okay, intriguing implies that there is a curiosity to see where they are going, and yes, I admit, there is, but it is far outweighed by a similar feeling that is entitled, cocaine is a hell of a drug. Because everything about this is just, where the fuck are they going with this?
Yeah, this is like trying to watch a Ross Noble routine. If either of you know Russell Brand, which would be the British/American equivalent. Guy who starts telling jokes, takes sidetrack 16 miles away, and just wondering where the fuck did the joke go.
It's also called Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, but that's too classic for most people to understand.
Trying to get more contemporary.
I know. We should talk about cartoons after the show. But anyway, considering we've talked about Kane long enough, let's talk about the WWE cartoon, The Big Show.
I thought you were going to talk about the actual WWE cartoon for a second.
I really don't want to.
we talk about how horribly offensive stereotypical Sheamus is in those early drawings.
Are you really surprised?
No. Not really.
But I know. What about Vince? The Vince in those old drawings. He looks Vince like the Incredible Hulk. And they were saying Vince was on roids before. The cartoon's not helping.
No.
They're going to have action figures with one of the cartoons as well.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Because I can imagine the Vince one would glow in the dark.
And then the Sheamus one would just light up.
Yeah, Sheamus
one. He's the one his is the one that should glow in the dark. He really should.
The Sheamus nightlight. Oh, good lord. Rock, can we change the topic?
Alright, you did, and then you changed it into a cartoon, so you're fine.
That was Omega!
Yeah, well, you could have...
I tried to transition to the Big Show, no, it didn't fucking work.
I didn't mention a cartoon, you did. I mentioned a British comedian, where did you go?
I don't know.
WWE is over in Europe this Monday night, and the Big Show has a job again, so he'll be there this Monday night. Thoughts on him being rehired, that whole segment from this past Monday, Omega?
Wasn't there some report where someone hit a cue way too early, and apparently a big chunk of this didn't even make it?
It all made it. It just took an extra 5 minutes.
Jeez.
It's called, Here's the Shield, and we're going to break.
Wrestling is this weird little thing where, okay, we finally have things that result in lawsuits, which is like how most of this should go in the first place. In any real world situation, but I've never heard of a lawsuit ended because, you know, they've agreed. Okay, you get your job back and you get a championship shot. Okay.
What, you didn't know that's how they practice law in the fantasy world of WWE?
No. Had me fooled. You know, I thought your lawyer came out, hit you with a briefcase, and then, you know, teamed up with a $1 million man. I thought that's how we did things.
No, that was back in the day. But we got the F out. Now with the E, you know, this is how we handle it.
We put the F back in.
Sadly, no.
Fuck the pandas.
Now that you fucked the pandas, thoughts on this?
There has been no panda fucking. Let's just make this very clear.
Thoughts on the segment? I'm trying to get you out of the panda fucking.
Just please do. You put me in there in the first place.
I'd be honest, that would be more entertaining than the segments.
The segment dragged.
Segments. Like segments. All 85 of the goddamn of them last Monday.
The overabundance of here's this angle, and here's this angle, and here's this angle, and yeah. That was overkill.
Yeah, so much overkill on this. It was insane. By the time they got around to the segment, you knew what was going to happen, and you really didn't give a shit. You just wanted this whole thing to end so we could, you know, end the show and go do something else.
I will say this. Big Show did a tremendous job.
He got to act like a goofball. Of course he did well. That's how he excels in that company.
Yeah, to be honest, Big Show's actually been doing really well through his whole involvement with the Authority so far. So I've actually been happy with Big Show's side of things. Just this particular segment is like, well, we know where you're going with this. Can you kind of just kind of get it moving along here? Okay, he's going to get rehired, he's going to get a title shot, and he's going to get beaten up. We got this one.
And after all that whole segment, you kind of, before they said, oh, here's your title shot, it kind of still once again made you think, here comes Hunter and Big Show in a match, and we're, again, sidetracked from that point. Is that a mistake?
Yeah. But then again, it was to be expected in all reality. Like, Big Show seems to have been in this transition into this role for the last at least 3 to 4 weeks. They've been trying to move all the cheers and all the popularity and everything that Daniel Bryan's had in his feud with Randy Orton over to the Big Show. And while it's not exactly working, they just want to just keep going with it. You know, I would have preferred to have seen Big Show versus Triple H at Survivor Series with the job on the line or something. You know, give us something out of this rather than, oh, now you've got a title shot against Randy Orton that we know he's going to lose. This is SummerSlam all over again.
It's kind of annoying because the way they kind of booked themselves, it kind of went into a corner between, you know, this is why Daniel Bryan should have held the belt right now, because you could put him against somebody else. You could put him against Corporate Kane. You could put someone against him to fill this gap in your WWE title picture. The way they booked, the only match they had was Orton versus Big Show, which isn't exactly a new match. You know, right now the hot match would have been Triple H versus Big Show, and really, Randy Orton's kind of a sideline player in this little feud so far. Because it's been all about the Authority and how they've been manipulating the Big Show and how Big Show is trying to retaliate against them. And that was what this whole thing was about. And now we've completely set that aside. And that's apparently still something they want to work toward, but by the time they get back to it, no one's going to care anymore. You know, again, you kind of missed your window of opportunity here. You know, this was the time to do it. Mace is right. You know, okay, you know, we're gonna meet Survivor Series, jobs on the line. Okay, that makes sense. No, you got your job back, you get a title shot, and we're gonna go right into a feud with Randy Orton, who has done fuck all with you so far. That's just, it's not the right end game for this. You know, it feels like a sidestep more than anything.
It sort of does, because the feud is Hunter and Big Show, and that's where you see them going, and it's one of those things where you can see why they're delaying it, but they built every angle to go there. Now Randy Orton's just second fiddle. Maybe that's the way it has to be, just to get him one and done out of the title picture.
But the thing is, this isn't going to be one and done.
Yeah, they're going to stretch this at least 2 months before they actually figure something else out. Because they've already ran through Daniel Bryan. They put him on the shelf until Rumble at least. And beyond that, who's left? Like, who else would you put against Randy Orton? Like if you had to put someone against him a month from now? The landscape's barren.
On both sides.
Yeah. Definitely agree with that. The landscape is barren on both sides. basically Big Show versus Orton is what's going to take you through to just before the Rumble. This is your November December pay per views.
Yeah.
Then when they get to do the big reset switch at the Royal Rumble, hopefully we'll start seeing better things come out of that.
Then there's the Elimination Chamber where you'll probably see Brian and Big Show get one last shot, which no one will win because they'll bring Orton all the way to Mania and have him headline.
That's very possible.
Whereas they don't even know what they're going to do at that point. That's still in all the dirt sheets, too.
There's a lot in the dirt sheets. And yeah.
And you know what the funny thing is? At this point, I think a title unification match between Orton and Cena at WrestleMania would be a fucking godsend for both belts.
And we will be talking about those belts later on in the program. Nice little tease there.
I'm sorry, I didn't read the run sheet fully.
No, I'm just saying, it's a nice tease.
Kidding your ass!
It's a radio tease. We'll be talking more about it later in the program. See, it's a teaser. And what else is a teaser? We're going to break. And when we come back, we're getting to the darker side of things, even darker than Kane, the Wyatt family.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say, like, Darren Young or something. Racist!
No, that would make you racist. Anyway.
Fuck people, no, I'm racist.
You're listening to WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. When we come back, we're going to get into the Wyatts. We're going to get into the young stars of WWE and their potential, and later on, the release of one of those stars. You're tuned into WTR. We'll be right back. Around. Demons cluttering around my face, showing no emotion. Shackled by my sentence, expecting no return. Here there is no penance, my skin begins to burn. So I held my head up.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the show was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, now.
Man,
tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm
pick.
I'm going with that. Oh, never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I seen him too, and actually, I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked Brie. So you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god!
I believe you changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming, just like. Bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WTR Sunday, I'm still really live right here at WildTalkRadio.com. Did you know, like 16 years ago this weekend, Canada cried?
What? Was this the maple syrup famine?
No, it was not the maple syrup famine. It was this weekend, I believe it was, the night a Canadian got screwed over in Montreal.
So the first time they heard Celine Dion.
Yes.
I thought the Canadian Day of Mourning was the day Bill Goldberg ended his career.
No, because that didn't come for another couple of years. No, Montreal Screwjob happened, I believe either the 9th or the 10th. Don't remember exactly.
Thank you for bringing up the one thing that we were waiting to die and it finally did.
You're welcome. Well, it's been all over the Twitter and stuff today, so. Figured I'd bring it up. Changing topics, the devil has chosen a duo in Bryan and Punk. Since, you know, the devil made Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family go after them. Since you weren't here last week, Omega, give us your overall thoughts leading up to what happened Monday night.
My thoughts are confused.
Right.
Because there's no particular rhyme or reason for this. Like, we knew why he had gone after The Miz. You know, okay, and that kind of made sense because he's, you know, it was kind of like Miz represents everything that he hates in people and humanity, and okay, that works. That's for his character. Mm-hmm. But we've gone from Follow the Buzzards to The Devil Made Me Do It, and it's just, there's something that he loses something that way. Like, okay, you've gone from something that's creepy and cryptic now to something that you'd hear in a B-grade horror movie. And unless, you know, and it's one of those things where if the devil turns out to be Triple H or something, it's just going to come up hokey.
Scooby-Doo-ish, if you will.
Well, you could go that route because, you know, their first targets are Punk and Brian, who are the two most popular guys, you know, in the WWE right now, you know, outside of Cena. But the two guys who would be, who are the biggest potential threats for the Authority. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's such an easy direction for them to go in. It makes me really worried that's exactly what they're planning to do. And it just, it would take so much of the creep out of the character. Especially after he just railed against The Miz for being so into the establishment and then just be a lackey of the establishment.
And that always begs the question of who the devil actually is. If it is even someone. But say that
it's me, Austin!
It's you all along. But if the devil is someone in the Authority, Brian would be the obvious choice. But then why would Punk be that choice?
Because WWE logic.
That's not an acceptable answer.
Well, it's the devil, so he's going after the straight edge and the vegan.
Okay, that sort of works. Elaborate.
It's a silly joke, you know. There's no real elaboration, but there's this in the back of your head is one of those things like, yeah. There's these people who are against doing my normal evil temptations of the world, and fat guy Hicks, kill them.
Okay. Wow.
Well, it's either them or the cast of Duck Dynasty, okay? The Wyatts are closer.
The Wyatts are closer. Yeah, that's true. The Wyatts are indeed closer. Now, on the same hand, if the devil turns out to be a Paul Heyman, Punk is obvious, but why Brian at that point? Oh, before you answer that, he's husky. He's not fat, he's husky. What I'm supposed to.
You really are trying this, aren't you?
I'm reading a certain fangirl's comment. That's all.
Now she chimes in.
Anyway, what do you think about the question?
If it is Heyman, why Brian? Why not? the question here is not the why, it's more the why not. You got your two biggest guys in the company right now. You know, either way you flip it, Authority or Heyman, your two biggest guys in the company right now are Punk and Brian. So why not try and take out the top guys?
But who, alright, you say why take out the top two guys? Who benefits from taking out those two guys?
here's the fun thing about Bray Wyatt. It doesn't have to make sense.
But I'm asking you to make it make sense.
But that's the fun thing about it. It doesn't have to. The character is so mentally out of it, like most cult leaders are, that he doesn't have to have rhyme or reason. When he first started attacking Miz, did he have a reason? Not really. He found one eventually. You know, it doesn't, you know, why go after Kane? Because he could. Eventually, he found a reason.
That's the way, yeah, but that's the way a lot of wrestling plots boil down. One day Randy Orton comes out and, RKO's, just some random member of the roster. And, for 2 weeks you go, why'd he do that? Why'd he do that? And he gets on the mic and goes, this is why I did that. Oh, that doesn't make any sense. So you're right. He's batshit crazy, and he can say anything because he's supposed to be chaotic. You know? So he can get away with doing anything he damn well pleases, and it still makes sense because the character is insane. That said, Rock does kind of have a point in, well, if you're going to target anyone, why specifically those two? Especially on the same night.
Well, here's the thing. You've written storylines for your videos and stuff like that. when you were making your video for TJTV originally, and you had your wet red herrings in there. Why can't this just be that? This could be something to throw most, quote unquote wrestling insiders or marks or whatever you want to call them off the track of what's actually going to happen at the end.
The trick is, we know why they're going with this feud. Because they are really big on the Wyatts right now, and they want to bolster their believability. So they're going to put them against the top two baby faces on Raw right now. The trick is, there's no apparent rhyme or reason for that, unless there's someone the devil is literal, and there is someone that is making, having the Wyatts do this for one reason or another.
Could the devil be Bray himself?
It's very possible, He is referred to himself as the World Eater, the Destroyer of Worlds, and all that type of stuff in NXT. Could be doing the exact same thing here, just instead of this time, instead of being the Eater of Worlds, which would quite possibly get them into trouble with Marvel's legal team, they're just going straight out and going, I am the fucking devil.
God. Mace, I was just thinking back to that, and I realized I know way too many Eater of Worlds.
Yeah, way unfortunately.
So, but yeah, at the same token, by the same token, the devil, maybe he was paid off, root of all evil, devil made him do it. Maybe Zack Ryder is jealous that he doesn't have that spot. For all we know.
Zack Ryder is the devil. I just find that highly amusing. Woo, 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 your soul is mine.
Remember my little, identity theft thing from how I would repackage Cena? Give it to the guy who's known for the internet.
Sure, why not?
It's not what's happening, but it's just what I mean by it is, It could be anything. The trick to these kind of things is when you're writing out a story, the most important things are how it begins and how it ends. Those are the first things you have to have in place at all times. Except this is WWE writing. That doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. So there's this hazy middle bit where they can make up anything they want. As long as it gets to that finishing line that they imagined in the first place, it's all well and good. But as we're saying this, it may or may not even be written until about, on average, I'd say about 22 hours from now.
Pretty much. Alright, taking the storyline out of it for a second, can the Wyatts benefit Omega from working with Punk and Bryan?
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, they're two of the top names in the WWE right now. They are incredibly good workers. They could make any of these guys look good, and let's face it, I still only know of how good Wyatt is in the ring from myth and legend of this thing called NXT.
NX what?
Oh, I don't know. It's this place where Antonio Cesaro puts on matches of the year.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And that's all I know of the place.
Michael in the chat room goes, Luke Harper is the breakout star so far of the Wyatt family. Agree? Disagree?
Is he the one with the sheep mask or not?
No, he's the one.
No, he's the one with black bushy beard and the white tank top.
That's kind of my point here. The tag team of the Wyatts themselves really don't have anything going on. Bray's got a good personality. Those two are the ones doing the wrestling, and they're just kind of clubbing brawler style wrestlers. You know, they're very JBL-esque. There's nothing pretty about what they do in the ring,
except for that clothesline. God damn, that
good lord, that looks like it hurts. But yeah, they definitely need the elevation. They need a rub that they could get from Bryan and Punk. I mean, not only because they can make those two look good, but maybe teach them something in the process.
What do you think about Michael's question, Mace? Is Luke Harper the breakout star so far?
Well, so far, yes, because he's the second one in the group to be given an actual focus. Harper's been showing off in NXT. He's been the guy who's starting to get a few single matches on the main shows. So he's definitely the next breakout guy. Like, they seem to be building him up in, like, tiers. Like, they've done building Bray. Now they're moving on to Luke.
Does he need a little bit more of a personality?
To be honest, not really. The big clubbing guy who doesn't speak works well for him. I reckon the second he opens his mouth, he's fucked.
He's not bad on the microphone. They did a promo with him a couple weeks ago on NXT. Wasn't too bad.
I still say you keep Bray as the mouthpiece, and okay, so you're elevating one over the other. You're putting Luke over Rowan, but it works for the guys. We keep saying that they keep building these guys too quickly and pushing them too quickly. Finally, we get the slow build, and it's working. And as long as they give Rowan a decent shot too, then it's actually going to work out good for all three men. So, I wouldn't say he's a breakout star, but I'm saying he's getting a good chance.
What, do you agree, Omega, that Harper is okay where he's at, or does he, in your mind, need more personality?
I think he needs a little bit more to him. He's just... I don't know. Again, this is me not seeing him on NXT. And really, in WWE verse, that NXT is pretty much treated like this separate little universe where they don't acknowledge what happens there. You know, so... It's kind of weird. It's like NXT Luke Harper is like the alternate reality Luke Harper. And the one we see on Raw is, since it's the main roster, that's the main one. That's the main version. That's Luke Harper Prime. Okay? And that one needs work. That one is very, very two-dimensional right now. I need more.
Basically, what you're saying, you need to harness his creep factor a little bit.
I need him to get away from just being, it's kind of hard to say. He needs his own creep factor aside from being, not being Bray and not having a sheep mask. He just needs something else about him.
And what's that?
I don't know.
Turning to
if
you...
I knew that, I would have told you.
Well, I'm looking for answers. Anyone? Anyone have an answer? Anyone out there? If you do,
I'm sorry, we don't have the words WWE Creative stamped on our door.
Omega does, but it's just spelled.
No, I don't.
It's spelled M-O-L-E.
Why do I keep coming back here?
That's what King Ken says every Saturday night.
Yeah. You know when... Kane, you know when I started asking that?
Mm-hmm.
Kane? Kinkins, you know when I started asking that? Like 7 years ago.
And by the way, you don't deny that you're the mole. Just point that one out.
What's the fun if you're not guessing?
Exactly, and on that, we're taking another time out. When we come back, we're getting into the rising stars of WWE. And... much, much more. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Like double cherry pie, yet there she was. Like disco superfly. I smell sex and candy here. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting deep fear stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rack.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's the best there is, and I know because so am I. I'm the ROH champ, Austin Aries.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
about time this fucker called in. Hi, Mace.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh, hey,
fuck you. And fuck you, and fuck you, Hong. Let's count them up. It's Rocks, one. Fuck you, Will. That's two. Fuck you, Tim. Fuck you, Omega. Fuck you, Lindsay. Fuck you, Subway. Fuck you.
Hey, Meg.
I was really fucked. Can I now have a kitten?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you. I can barely remember yesterday, Tim.
Oh, fuck, can you guys call
oh,
me?
Oh, God, are you getting Tim's dino?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you, Will, but not before Mace does.
It's basically descended into, like, a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast. Ask Mace.
Like, all of a sudden it popped up, and here's the whole gang, and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega, as he is one told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
You're listening to five times NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Arnold Pierce, and this is the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I've been teasing this for a little while, guys. Talk about the young stars of WWE, because there's a lot of talent. You got Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Big E, Bray, Rollins, Cesaro. Out of the latest crop of young talent in WWE, in your opinion, who has the most potential to be the guy that can connect with an entire audience? Throw it to you first, Nice.
Out of that list,
like, guys will be sort of main eventing inside of, ooh, I don't know, 5-10 years. Probably go with Big E, Cesaro, maybe Bray. Like, I know, like, that's who I'd pick, but if word is meant to be believed, the only guys that you're going to see getting a real push in the next few months, at least, will be Reigns and Langston. Because supposedly word out of the office is that they're going back to, we want big muscles guys. But, you know. See, my personal choices would be, yeah. Like, Wyatt. I could see Ambrose maybe getting, like, he'd be a gatekeeper role, unfortunately. I don't really see him being, like, world championship material at any point. Cesaro, definitely heading to the main event. Langston, I can definitely see heading to the main event.
Heading to the main event is one thing, but can they connect with the entire crowd?
This is the thing, like, the Shield's been over for forever and a day since they debuted. The Wyatts are over as anything. Langston is over as anything. So is Cesaro. So they're obviously connecting with the majority of the crowd. Unfortunately, I don't see him breaking the glass ceiling that is John fucking Cena. You're not going to see any of these guys being the face of the WWE. You know, I don't see any of these guys being anything but, you know, bit players in the main event scene. It's got nothing against these guys. These guys are all fantastic wrestlers. I've been singing a lot of these praises for a long time. It's just with the way the company works, they're not going to get that chance to be the guy. They're just going to be the background guy. That's the reality of the situation.
Omega.
It's really, really unfortunate. You know, for some reason they pinned a few slightly lower buy rates on the fact that Daniel Bryan, who is the most over guy they've had in years, well, he's a small guy, so clearly he's responsible. It can't be our shitty writing and our recycling of the corporation storyline. No, it can't be writing. No, surely it's because Daniel Bryan is 4 inches too short. So unfortunately, Mace is right. I mean, it's going to be Roman Reigns, Big E Langston. They're going to get more obvious pushes. You know, again, I'll go me personally. I'd say, yeah, I'd put Dean Ambrose. I'd put Dolph Ziggler. You know, these guys who have really busted their asses to do what they've done so far and have proven themselves really good at what they do. And for one reason or another, they aren't. I get the feeling El Torito is going to get more time than they do.
Ingenious.
Right.
Still having the visions rocked.
I know. Continue.
Okay. The funny thing, I just realized, like, I'm scrolling through the roster page here trying to pick out, okay, who's good, and I'm still going, well, I really want Cody Rhodes to actually make something of all the pushing he's getting lately. You know, this guy, oh my god, Curt Hawkins is still hired. Why? And then I noticed Primo and Epico are still on the roster page along with Los Matadores.
Yep, yeah, they are.
God. It's really hard because there is such a disconnect between what writers and management really want and what, you know, us as fans think is, you know, the people who have worked to deserve it and the people we think work best in the ring, whereas they're looking at, it's a TV show, so they're looking at image. And that's where the disconnect comes from. Because, you know, Dean Ambrose is never going to be any bigger than he is now. Mm-hmm. You know, the sad thing about the Shield is that at least two-thirds of that team is probably already peaked in their career.
It's sad, isn't it?
It's really sad.
What can you do to change that, then?
You're not gonna like my idea.
Put a bomb in John Cena's car?
No, I wasn't actually gonna use that. Surprisingly enough, it had nothing to do with Cena.
Now I'm curious.
Get rid of everybody with the last name McMahon and Helmsley.
Alright, that's not realistic. Come on.
Yeah,
now.
Well, okay.
I know it's not realistic, but you need fresher minds. You need people who are willing to listen to the crowd instead of to the investors, to the ratings, to the sponsors. You know, it's been this thing for years, and it might just be regulated to indie shows now, but it's the way wrestling was working for many, many years, especially during the 90s. The guys who got over were the ones that got connections with the crowd, and the company turned around and went, holy crap, this guy's getting something. Let's try something. That's how Austin came about. That's how The Rock came about. Some of your biggest names in this goddamn business were made by the crowd, not by ratings, not by shareholders. Whereas it's gone the completely other way now. The crowd doesn't know what they want. We will tell them what they want. You know, there was a quote by McMahon in 1997. He had no idea why the crowd connected with Austin, but he would give them Austin. Next thing you know, Austin's one of the biggest names in the business. You do that today. Oh, that Dolph Ziggler guy is getting a lot of cheers, and that Daniel Bryan guy is really putting out some top-class matches. More John Cena. It's outdated thinking and people who are sitting in an office believing that they know better. Like, we thought that when Triple H was getting some control that this type of shit was going to stop. Yeah, there have been more guys through the training system that are getting better. You know, guys like Langston and Sheamus and guys who look really, really good. All products of Triple H, brilliant guys. But they have the charisma of a wet fucking noodle. And I'm sorry to say this, up until like 2002, so did Triple H. They just need better minds and ears open to the crowd instead of waiting till, you know, Tuesday morning or whenever the ratings come out or whenever the buy rates come out. They need to stop that shit and remember that it's the fucking crowd, the people at those events, at the live events, at Raw, at SmackDown. Listen to them. They are your audience. Nobody makes money by ignoring your audience. Well, I haven't ranted like that in a while. Feels good. Ow! I feel good!
And now I counteract your point with this. If you listen to the crowd, Fandango would be in the top of the card.
No, if you listen to the crowd for one night, Fandango would have been top of the card. Listen to the reaction he gets now.
Because WWE pushed him down that far.
That thing was a momentary lapse, if anything.
Okay, fine. Woo, 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 you know it.
That one I can't explain. Even to this day, I can't explain why the fuck people like Zack Ryder.
But if you're supposed, going by your logic, if you're listening to the crowd, they want it Ryder.
and I have no idea why. But, you know,
Ryder found a way of connecting to the fans that WWE wasn't prepared for. It got around the usual censorship, it got around the usual roadblocks, and it actually found an audience that WWE had never tapped before. It's the reason they have YouTube shows today. And how do they repay the guy? Jobbing on Main Event.
Yep.
All right, now you're just stretching. He doesn't get to even work Main Event.
No. He was on Main Event this week. I remember I tuned in for a whole 3 seconds and noticed it was him and changed the channel.
You give Ryder this, at least he was different, at least he's contemporary, being the internet guy. He's got an internet show, he's done the fan thing and made up his own title belt for his internet show.
Yeah. You take a look at CM Punk back in 2011. Dude didn't take off until his contract was ready to expire, and they said, here's a microphone, go and be you. He was just floundering.
Yeah.
He cut that promo, the crowd connected to it because it was something different. Next thing you know, bang, big star.
WWE, for years now, have been trying to write real. It's why the characters like Fandango and Los Matadores are few and far between. It's all real names. Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Roman Reigns. They don't come up with personas anymore. They come up with loose gimmicks and real world names because they want them to seem real. But the people who actually go out there and do real things, CM Punk's pipe bomb promo or Zack Ryder's YouTube show, that is what connected the most. That's what got the strongest reaction. The people who were being themselves and doing something that was legit. It's why John Cena, despite all the heroism and Hulk Hogan-like writing and booking, is still half-loved, half-hated, because he comes across phony as hell.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that. Like, and out of all these guys, you know, out of all the guys we've listed tonight on the up and coming list, which one of those really has something that makes them stand out and be different? The only guy on that list, Bray Wyatt, because his character is so out there and something that hasn't been seen in nearly 20 years. He's a gimmick. And it's a gimmick that people somehow get. You know, I hate to say it, you know, I look at Reigns, Ambrose, and Rollins, and I'm like, yeah, three generic guys in bulletproof vests. Big E Langston, yeah, he's a big,
okay,
big Bert.
Mace, I'm going to give this to you, and you're the only one who would get it. The Shield is like if the Big Boss Man was the Gold Ranger.
Yeah.
You're the only one who will get that.
Pretty much. But, you know, and look, I'm not trying to put any of these guys down. You know, a lot of them are phenomenal workers. You know, Cesaro's absolutely insane. He's brilliant. The guy can work and does moves that absolutely, you'd see it in a video game. You know, that European uppercut thing that he does is straight out of fucking Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are phenomenal workers. They can put on top star matches. But they're just missing that, you know, the whole quote-unquote X factor that will get them to the top and will make them a character that everybody can grab a hold of. Everybody just sounds so generic no matter what level they're working.
Cesaro stands a chance. He really does. But when you get saddled with things like We the People or I Speak Five Languages, you know, it's okay, it is mostly true that it is not the gimmick that gets the worker over, the worker gets the gimmick over. There's just some gimmicks that are so thin you can't build with them. You know, Cesaro can try all he wants. You know, the giant swing has gotten him way more over than any languages or phony racist catchphrases have.
And on the flip side of it, you know, and I'm sort of tensing up as I'm about to say this, but uh-oh. Why do you think The Rock's so fucking popular still? I will give The Rock his due.
I could hear the sizzle from that burning as you said it.
Oh, believe me, it's giving me a heart attack just thinking about it. But why do you think the guy can still walk into an arena and get the pop he does? Why does a guy like Lesnar still draw every eye in the building to him when he walks out? They're the guys that put on the bigger than life, but all they're doing is turning themselves up. That's always been the biggest thing with wrestling, is take your gimmick, turn it up to 11. The worst thing about it has been, over the past 10 years, the WWE has been the one that's been standing in front of the volume knob saying, we're going to set it at 7. And it's going to stay like that because we don't want to upset the neighbors.
But these go to 11. No.
No, they go to 7 now.
No, they don't go to 11 anymore.
Now, staying on this topic, in a way, one guy who won't have this chance to be WWE's breakout talent is Cassius Ohno. He's no more. He was released this past weekend by World Wrestling Entertainment.
I hear a head hitting a desk.
So, Mr. Head Desk, thoughts?
I will strangle your soul.
What? What's your thoughts?
Why? You know, last I heard, he was getting some pretty good reactions from boss. Triple H liked him.
But does that really matter?
He had a fucking phenomenal match against Luke Harper on NXT this past fucking week.
Yeah, but that was taped like 6 weeks ago.
It doesn't matter. It was the fucking weirdest timing I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, Omega.
I don't know what... this is one of... Like, every now and then they'll let someone go and it's like, okay, I don't know your name. Good riddance. You know, and that happens a lot on the NXT roster for me. Like, okay, NXT is basically just WWE developmental with a pretty title. So, they're in, they're out, no big deal.
Says the person who lives in Florida who could probably go see them whenever he wants, if he really wants to take a road trip.
Well, I can't see Chris Hero anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, Omega, you do realize that this is the guy who used to wrestle at Choo Choo.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen him in Kaiju Big Battle. It's hysterical, he's the only normal one. It's just one of those things, like, okay, there's so few, like, names you know when they go into NXT anymore because they don't want established indie stars, they want to build their own crop. So he's like one of the names where it's like, oh, I know him. I hope he does well because I actually really like what he does. And I kept hearing he's getting really good reviews. And you know, there's someone with, oh, he might be up on the main roster soon. And he's gone. Just out of fuck all nowhere.
You sure? They wrote him off TV because they want him to lose weight.
Okay.
Just pointing that out, all the reviews weren't positive.
He wanted him to lose weight.
They wanted him to get better, in better shape.
Rikishi was on the main roster. They asked him to do that too, and they kept him. They gave him 6 months for that.
Well, they even wrote Ono out.
That's what I'm saying.
They wrote him out so he could get in better physical shape. He rocked up on NXT. He was in better physical shape. Yet, that's not enough. You know, this type of thing gets me worried. When they start looking for an excuse, it makes me look at a guy like Sami Zayn, El Generico, who's a brilliant worker. He just doesn't fit a WWE mold.
Yeah.
Are we going to see him on the main roster? Probably not.
That was one of the few, like, that's the only time I tuned into NXT was Zayn and Cesaro's matches. And good fucking lord, they put on the match of the year. Like, fuck anything WWE has put on television. That was a those were phenomenal matches. You know, and like May said before, it was like something out of WWE All-Stars, just cartoonish levels of physicality. And it was incredible, but it's not something you'd see on the normal roster, so, you know, unfortunately, he's not someone you'd, you know, would eventually get the call up, unfortunately.
Yeah, you take a look at also the Divas roster. You know, it was this big thing how, because of the whole Total Divas thing, we're going to start seeing Eva Marie on TV, whether she's ready or not. Yet you've got Paige and Emma down in NXT, as much as I have a personal hatred of Emma due to my actual knowing her, that they're never going to see roster. They're never going to see the main roster. They're going to be stuck in developmental. You know, this is what I mean by the company not listening to a crowd. Listening to the NXT crowd might not be the best thing in the world. Because for some reason they seem to be out in fucking La La Land, which is great because it's good to have a different style of audience. But there are people who come into this, come into developmental, NXT, early roster, that have skills, that have great gimmicks, that have personalities that connect. Nah, I can't have that. Stuck at 7. You know, Ono would have been a great addition to the main roster. Personally, I would have got him to have shaved the beard back a little bit and maybe chopped the hair. Because seriously, he looked like he was out in the mountains with the Wyatts for way too long. But, you know, dude could wrestle. Have Ono go up against Cesaro. You know, if you've got guys in there now, like your Ambrose, like your Roman Reigns, like Cesaro and that, who can work these technical style matches, who can put on some amazing, you know, over the top, flying off the rope spots, you have inbuilt to bring these guys up to the roster, but they're just looking for a reason to cut them. You know, I know, supposedly there are stories going around about Ono and his attitude. Okay, yeah, he's got to get his attitude under control. That's fine. If you're going to let him go for his attitude problems, by all means, you know, what boss would have a worker that told them to go fuck themselves or something like that? But still, you try to give these guys a bit of a chance. Not write them off for 6 months, say, hey, dude, get in shape or you're gone. When he comes back in shape, it's, oh, well, you're gone anyway. And I know there's Michael F. in the chat room once again reminding me, Xavier Woods is on his way up. I wish the poor bastard luck because he gets to lose two things that I absolutely love about him. The fact that he always ends his promos with, it's Morphin time, and he has a communicator watch from the show, which will be stripped out of his entrance due to copyright legislation.
Though I'm willing to bet they'll let him keep Angel Grove, California.
Oh yeah, well and truly, which is like, you know, hey, I'm good. One reference is better than none, you know?
Yeah. I still wonder how he got that through at all, really.
I have no idea, but it was hilarious the first time I heard it.
Someone just...
Because I tuned in the middle of NXT, and it was a Xavier Woods promo. And all of a sudden, I heard the watch go off, and because I had that as my ringtone on my phone, I picked up my phone, thinking it was my phone, and I'm like, wait, there's no message on my phone? That was from the TV? Oh my god! but, yeah. Yeah, I... You know, the releasing of Ono... Okay, there's reasons for it. But in the end, I think they were just looking to cut him. They were just looking for any excuse will do. And as for all of these guys that are in NXT, when I see stuff like this happen, I get worried. You know, I've got people I used to train with. I used to train with Emma, you know, when I first broke into wrestling down here. You know, Buddy Murphy, who I know as Matt Silver, phenomenal wrestler. I don't ever see him being on the main roster because he's probably going to be too Australian for him. You know, this whole situation just makes me doubt that the WWE know what they're doing when it comes to the future of their company. But that's just me. And I'm crazy, negative, emo bastard.
No, we save emo for someone else. Who doesn't show up anymore on Saturdays. Speaking of the future of WWE, we go to tonight's roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Is unifying the WWE and World Championship at WrestleMania a smart business decision, Omega?
Yes and no. Yes, because at this point, okay, it makes me laugh anytime I see a dirt sheet site report that someone has been moved to from the SmackDown roster to the Raw roster. And I'm like, how can you tell the fucking difference anymore?
One's led by Cena, one is led by Randy Orton, I think, at this point. Team Orton and Team Cena, that's basically when they're in America, that's the shows.
But, you know, you say that, but anyone appears on any show. You know,
No
one fucking pays attention to it anymore. You know, you didn't have a draft. Where the fuck was the draft this year?
We haven't had a draft in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Though it's available in WWE 2K14. apparently.
No one fucking pays attention to the roster split anymore. So you might as well unify it and call it, okay, we have one champion now. Because that's supposed to be the whole idea. You're the WWE champion, world champion, whatever you want. You're supposed to be the top dog. You know, I can understand when you're trying to have two competing shows and it's SmackDown versus Raw and all that, but when it's just WWE, two top-tier championships does not make sense anymore.
I will put this point out to you, but say you were going to a live event in Florida and there was no WWE championship match on the card. Would you be less interested in seeing that show?
That depends on the star power. You know, the championship, you know, it could be on, you know, God, who been some bad champions in the past?
All right, say the headlining match is Randy Orton versus Big Show on that tour with no championship on the line.
Well, it's still Randy Orton versus Big Show. Here's the thing. When you go to a house show, you go to a live event in the first place, you know the belt's not going to change hands. If it does, they're not going to, you know, they're going to change it right back before they get back to TV. So it's not like you're going to see anything that matters.
All right, put yourself in the shoes of 12-year-old Omega.
12-year-old Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I'm
going to go look at my dad's porn mags.
But as a wrestling fan at 12 years old, wouldn't you want to see...
How are you talking to me through the computer?
It's fancy technology. It's dial-up modem. No, but think of it from that perspective. If you're 12-year-old Omega going to a wrestling show and you don't see a championship match on the card as the main event match, would you be disappointed?
No. Because I'm there to see a particular wrestler. You know, John Cena is still John Cena, whether or not he has a belt or not. You know, for the 2 months out of the year he doesn't have a belt. You know, it's still John Cena. It's still the moneymaker. It is still the top guy on the roster. It is still the guy who sells more merch than anybody. A piece of gold around his waist does not change that fact.
But for a lot of people, it does. You're smart enough to know, oh, it's John Cena, oh, it's so-and-so. But for a lot of people, they pay to see the attraction. And if you don't have that title as the attraction, the event loses something.
How were the Raw tour numbers over the last 3 months or so?
I couldn't tell you.
Because for the last 2 months, they haven't had a WWE champion for the show.
And numbers have probably been down.
Probably.
And when it comes to those shows, with no champion, those shows are probably down.
Probably. I'm looking for absolutes, Rock.
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
You cannot prove conclusive evidence.
I will go search for your numbers, sir. I have ways.
You go search for the fucking numbers.
I have ways to find these numbers. So, anyway, let's get Mace involved. What do you think?
Unifying the belts? Good for business.
Why?
Because, like Omega said, nobody notices the fucking roster split anymore, so what's the point of having two title belts?
The attraction.
No. I don't agree with it.
Why not?
Because you know what? There have been shows, live shows down here, where there's been no title match. And they still fucking packed the house.
But that's a special case. How often are they in Australia?
Like 2 to 3 times a year.
Okay. In the States, how often are they doing shows?
You know what? I'm not in the fucking States, so I'm not going to answer that.
I'm pretty sure they hit, like, Michigan 2 or 3 times a year, too. Okay?
See, here's the thing. Omega, you can ask him local U.S. You got to remember, Australia, different situation. You know, but the same thing is, we get non-title matches on here. Still draws. Because, and the whole 12-year-old kid thing, kids don't give a flying rats what matches are on. They care what wrestler is on. You know, even without a belt, if you had Cena come out in the crowd, the kids, if that's who they want to see, that's why they're going.
So at this point you're saying the brand is bigger than the belt?
Yes.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, because we've been talking for a long time about how diminished the value of the belt is. But at the same time, that means the attraction isn't the belt or the champion, it's the star themselves. At this point, unifying the belts, having one champion, one guy as the top dog in all of WWE, is probably the one thing that's going to add value back to those belts in the first place. So, in a sense, softening the belts has actually strengthened the individuals who are supposed to be holding them. And unifying them is the way that you bring attraction back to being the champion, because you are the champion.
Well said. Now, we move on from that. Unless Mace has something else he would like to add to that.
No, I'm good.
We go to the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute! It's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking the Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Now, before we actually get into the Great Debate, Mace, you have a sports score update for us?
Yes, I do. We have New Orleans 49 defeating Dallas 17. How about them Cowboys getting butt raped?
Oh. Wow.
Apparently we're all bastards. Anyway.
Hey, my parents were married when they had me.
In this week's Great Debate, we challenged the debates for the greatest debut of all the times. And up this week, Lex Luger's WCW 1995 debut against the debut of the Gobbledygooker. Omega.
So it'd help if I remembered Lex Luger's
Monday Nitro.
That does not help me.
For the inaugural broadcast of WCW Monday Nitro from Mall of America, had, I believe it was the main event.
Hogan and Big Bubba
Hogan
Rogers.
Hogan and Big Bubba.
Yeah.
And near the end of the match, Lex Luger, who was seen the previous night, I believe at SummerSlam?
He was recently on WWE TV.
Yeah. He ended up just walking out. He walked right down the entryway up to the ring. As far as everybody knew at the time, Luger was a WWE guy who was still on the contract with the WWE. We didn't realize until many years later that they were under a handshake agreement. But
yeah, he 8 days prior he was at SummerSlam, and only one night prior he was at a WWF house show in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Just to clear up the facts.
Yeah, thank you. My WCW knowledge didn't go to exact locations.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Okay. Thanks for the history lesson. I'm going with the cooker.
Why?
Because don't get me wrong, extraordinarily stupid. Possibly the worst idea in pro wrestling history. But it had build up. You were curious as hell what the fuck was in that egg that kept showing up. And you know what? It's memorable. Not for any good reasons, but you can't deny it's memorable.
Alright. By the way, he has a Twitter now.
Or Hector Guerrero.
The Gobbledygooker is now on Twitter. Go follow it. Mace.
I'm going with Luger. This set the tone for the anything can happen idea that became WCW Nitro. This was one of those things that the dirt sheets would have gone absolutely ballistic with back in the day. This was something that nobody had ever thought of happening on live TV. The Gooker, on the other hand, was just a gigantic fucking egg that hatched to Hector Guerrero in a suit and dancing with Mean Gene fucking Oakland. In the grand scheme of things, that meant about as much as a bear shitting in the woods.
You knew you were rooting for the Gooker in the gimmick battle royal.
True. But then again, I spent most of that waiting for the Sheik to get to the ring.
This is true.
And if you want our true opinions about the WWE gimmick battle royal, go check out WTRF right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Such a shameless shill.
We haven't made fun of it. Yeah, we haven't made fun of anything in a long time.
We should find an old Survivor Series and do something with it. The chat room goes Luger and the Gooker.
So it all comes down to you, Rock.
I know, right? Fuck you, chat room. You should have made a pick.
Hey, you wanted to be the Canadian for the night.
I know, right? I should just be undecided and not really have an opinion, eh? Bret Hart. No. Omega made a really good point about the Goblin Gooker. Because coming into this, I was thinking Lex Luger, and then it's like, Omega made a good point. But yeah, Mason's right. It launched the whole new era for WCW. Luger moves on. Up next, the Radicals take on the Wyatts. Mace.
I'm going for the Radicals. Once again, this was one of those things that came like completely out of nowhere. Even the dirt sheets didn't pick up on this one. You know, all these guys, Benoit had recently become WCW champion. You know, most of these guys were known names in WCW. They were guys who were carrying the company on their shoulders, with the exception of Douglas. Actually, no, Douglas wasn't with them. He came later. Brain fart. Thank you. But, yeah, these guys were well-known names who all turned around and said, we want out. They got the out, and then almost instantly were picked up by the WWE. And again, it was something that nobody really thought would happen. The four guys came out to the ring, sat down at ringside, shook hands with Al Snow, which is probably what led to their downfall, and then got involved in the match, and everyone got to hit their finish. And the crowd ate it up until they started walking up the ramp and blowing the whole thing. But the reaction and everything was priceless. It was, again, it was like the Luger thing where it was, holy crap, did you see that? It was a talking point. The Wyatts, on the other hand, they had build up and build up and build up and build up. And would you just fucking debut already? Would you fucking debut already? Holy shit, you finally debuted, thank Christ. So yeah, Radicals, because it was handled so much better until that last, if you discount that last 2 minutes.
Omega.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Lindsay, going Radicals. I mean, why is, yeah, they have a big build, they have a very slow vignette-filled build. Great. Great. It did take too damn long. And in a way, I'm still kind of waiting for the payoff, because while they're still very creepy, I need to know the direction still. So, the Wyatts have debuted, but not all of them have debuted, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But, you know, Mace is right. There is just... Okay, when one guy comes from the other, when Lex Luger walks out on WCW after he had just been on WWF television, that's... Okay, that's kind of a... Oh, my God, how the hell did that happen? When four guys all come out at the same time? That's what the fuck? I mean, none of them were, like... Just to be fair to the guys, none of them were, like, huge established stars, but all of them were names that people knew. You know, it's Saturn, it's Malenko, it's Benoit, it's Guerrero. I knew it. Let me get to it.
Today, Junior. Continue.
But just to have all four of those guys, just kind of make an impact all at once is just so much bigger. Like, you never got that. Like, okay, you know, in WCW, Hall, you know, Nash shows up, and then Hall shows up, and then Nash, and that's kind of the surprise, but, you know, that's like if, you know, that's like if they had debuted like half of the original NWO at the same time. It's just out of nowhere, and just the sheer number is shocking, let alone the names they got.
So, without a doubt, the Radicals move on. Next week on The Great Debate, the debut of Taz in WWE up against Carlito's WWE debut. Goldberg's WWE debut takes on Kurt Angle's TNA debut on the next Great Debate. Should be interesting next week. Very.
Considering I can't remember Carlito.
That's where you have a week to do some research.
Except I'm going away for most of this week, so somebody might have to send me some research.
Probably involves spitting an apple.
Probably.
It's called probably. Google. Go use it. Anyway, quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Since there's only two of you. Mace. If a 99-pound person eats 1 pound of nachos, is that person 1% nacho?
I'd probably say that they're more than 1% nacho if they're weighing 99 pounds, but then again... Actually, 99 pounds, that's not all that much, is it?
No.
You people in your American weird weights.
It's not all that weight.
I was trying to say, no, it's probably about 50 or... I think the nachos would weigh more than they would. If I'm doing my math right.
It's 1 pound of nachos. It's 1 pound no matter what the substance is.
Yeah, true, true.
This is like the 1 ton of feathers versus 1 ton of rocks thing.
Yeah, but in the end, I don't think they'd be 1%. They wouldn't be 1% nacho. They'd be more water than nacho.
This isn't how math works, Mace.
Shut up, it does in my world.
Doesn't math...
Quiet!
You went to public school, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with people who went to public school, Mega?
No, I went to public school. I just think it explains things.
Okay. Just making sure. Omega, a wizard offers you immortality in exchange for your two front teeth. Do you take it?
It's called dentures, yes.
You're not allowed to have dentures.
That wasn't in your stipulation.
It is now.
It is, okay, it is now.
You know, this one. Deal.
That's one of the. Well, that's one of the fucking monkey paw wishes. It's like, okay. Is this like? Because there's the immortality where you don't age to death, but you can still get killed. Then there's the immortality where you never die, but you keep aging.
Right.
It's always one of those fucking things.
Let's work out the logistics of this contract before we shake hands, Mephisto.
Oh, if only that had happened.
So, what do you choose?
You know, honestly, immortality sounds fun, but it's overrated. I don't want to live forever.
Okay. Mace, you're the sole witness to a mafia murder. Witness protection has set you up with a whole new life in a totally new country. You have to leave everything behind, but you can pick where you move to. Where do you go?
Well, considering that I'd have to be leaving Australia, I'd probably go to, like, the US or Japan.
Pick one.
U.S., I'd be less likely to stand out. Plus, I've got people over there that can hide me. Right, Omega?
Who are you?
Fuck. Means I'm gonna have to go to Spugs then.
Jeez, like I can tell. Like, look, I'm waiting for my friend Carl, okay? I don't know who the hell you are.
Well played. Well played. Yeah. Anyway, Omega. Answer this question. How do you have sex with a ghost?
How do you have sex with a ghost?
Yes.
There's a bad joke in here somewhere, and I'm trying to find it. It's not actually working. I think my brain refuses to come up with a joke for this.
Well, considering you already used all your jokes up on fucking pandas.
Can we leave the pandas out of this?
You were the one who brought them into this.
I know, and I regret it immensely. God. You know, pandas don't fuck much to begin with. I don't know why the whole show has to be about that.
No, it's right now you telling us how ghosts have sex.
How ghosts have sex, or how you would have sex with a ghost?
How do you have sex with a ghost? Because strangely enough, it is a sexual fetish.
Oh. If there can be necrophilia, I guess there's people who go one step beyond that.
It's called spectrophilia.
Spectrophilia. I think I need God. I think I need an unlicensed nuclear accelerator for this. It would require some Ghostbusters shit. Rock, this technology is beyond me.
Still waiting for an answer.
I know. I'm pretty sure you can't fuck a ghost. Because you need tangible element for that. You know, unless the ghost has somehow taken possession of a fleshlight of some kind. There's really not a lot of ways it could happen. To the point where I say, it can't happen. People are fucking sick.
Well, you knew that already.
Well, I knew that already, but, you know, it doesn't come into your brain to go, do you think someone out there actually wants to stick it to Casper? And I don't, my brain would go, no! But apparently...
So you have no answer?
My answer is that it's not possible. You can't have sex with a ghost because they have no tangible orifice.
Alright, fine. We'll let you off the hook because that was just 3 minutes of brilliant entertainment. What is that one?
3 minutes of fucking something. Where the fuck do you pull this shit these days?
This last question? This was a 2 a.m., 3 a.m. conversation with Lindsay. Anyway.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Yeah, it really, really was. Anyway, you've been listening to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Join us Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rag with Lindsay Woolard. Go back and listen to our interview with WWE Diva Cameron, this is one of the stars of Total Divas, and Y2J Chris Jericho from this past week. All episodes are available at rockradioshow.com and right here at wildtalkradio.com. Friday night, May's around 9 p.m., it's WTR Games Garage.
Yes, we open up the door to the garage, which looks suspiciously like a bedroom, and get into WWE 2K14's 30 Years of WrestleMania mode. This time we'll be tackling somewhere around the 19 through 20-somethings. So tune in live. You'll hear me, Rock, Lindsay, and maybe Omega if he wants to join in and have a laugh. And you get to hear me rage a lot when I can't seem to beat the most simple tasks. Fun!
Mace is not a fan of Dwayne Johnson in the game.
I'm not a fan of him in real life, so what's the difference?
Check it out, 9 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, Ace, and Subway. It's the weird. It's the wacky. It is the unusual. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at The Mace Thing, at TJ Omega. I'm going to let him plug everything else here in a second. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.net, Twitter.com/Lindsay Ward. Check out psychwarddesigns.com and herbyhands.net, since Lindsay Ward and all that other fancy stuff. Omega.
Let's see, aside from TJ Omega on Twitter, you can find me at facebook.com/TJReviews. You can find me on YouTube under TJ Omega, or you can find all of my stuff at TJOmega.org.
Anything else you want to plug, Mace, before we wrap it up?
Follow me on Twitter, at the Mace Thing, and I believe it's youtube.com/WTRGameGarage. On YouTube, where I like post random videos of me playing video games.
You put a user in between there, and then you should be good.
I don't know how these fucking things work.
Well, I'm explaining to you. You put a user in between.
Okay.
Anyway, buy an official Rock Radio T-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/Rock Radio Show. So for the Omega and Mace, I'm the Rock, and we'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Good night, everybody. Go!
WildTalkRadio.com.